Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 6, and this is your morning conversational program. And we know it's very cold, but make sure that you are awake. You don't need to be sleeping this time. You are betraying the struggle of economic emancipation. Make sure that you are awake and do what you can do. And as you know, it's always the case, especially every Thursday, we look at the affairs of business and also what is happening in the continent of Africa and also what is happening around the world. And we'll be able to dive into the conversation for today, especially from the hour of 7 there. And in this morning, as we always like motivating you, it's always like giving you that power to make sure that you wake up and go and do what needs to be done. Go and work, go and hustle, go and help people. You can even wake up and, you know, clean, or wake up and think. Because if you are only sleeping, nobody, understand that nobody can come and save you. Life is in your hands, and the decision that you are taking will determine the direction where you are going. And this morning, you must make sure that you are grateful. There are people that are not grateful in life. How do you get things if you are not grateful? So make sure that you are grateful of everything that you have, and never, ever take anything for granted. Never, never take anything for granted. Never take your life for granted, your health, your wealth, your energy, your friendships, and your love affairs too. And there are people who are fighting or crying to be in love. See, people are even fighting for a Russian man, who are fighting to be in love, but you are also there. And there are people who deserve it more, but the fact that you have it, make sure that you don't take it for granted. Your job, your surroundings, and your health too. You must be able to know that there are people that are born at the same age as you, but they are not able to see even the day due to the fact that either they find themselves with diseases or just life unfortunate things. But yeah, let's look at Farm Master, then we can come back with Continental News.
Warm up with Red Heart Deals at WB. Get 5 kg Best Choice White or Light Brown Sugar for $92.99. 4 kg Cadilla Mixed Chicken Portions for only $194.99. A 250 gram Nestle Hot Chocolate Pouch for $49.99. And 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT Milk for just $21.99. See more month-end specials at voermanbrock.com.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 14 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8. And starting with Namibia. Starting with country Namibia. You know, yesterday we have witnessed, you know, very competitive Namibian ladies. Particularly in a public interview, especially for two positions of being a commissioner of Electoral Commission of Namibia. And you can be able to see that we have, in Namibia, we have two kinds of people. We have those ladies who are asking the price of Hennessy and the price of, you know, brutal fruits or whatever they drink. But you also have another version of ladies that are asking themselves questions to say, instead of me depending on somebody's son, what can I do to contribute to the development of Namibian institutions? And we have seen that yesterday to say, we also have those ladies who did very well, either is in corporate, either is non-governmental organizations. And you can be able to see that their level of thinking is not like any other ordinary people that you see, but it's also showing a lot of you know, confidence in Namibian people to say, we still have people that have capacity and capability to lead institutions. And yesterday's public interview, I think it should become a norm, particularly to bigger positions, that people must be interviewed publicly, so that it will leave few rooms for manipulating of data, few rooms for corruption. If we have seen what happened with CEOs of City of Windhoek, where there was a public interview, let that become a trend, especially when you listen to what a person has to say. It is also easy to hold the person accountable. Yesterday I was giving an example to say, if you want to hold, for example, Tate Moses Machai, the CEO of City of Windhoek, accountable, you just go back to the presentation. There was a very competitive presentation that was happening. It was an online presentation. You go back to the presentation. What was he saying about the vision of the City of Windhoek? What was he saying about what he was going to do in the next 5 years? Then you can go and ask to say, no, why do I have to go to, for example, the Okuliangava place, and from Marietta there, you will not see a road there. There is no road anymore. If you know what I'm talking about, you understand. Then you ask a person to say, okay, you are in charge of leadership of the city, but how can we have best roads in Africa? But where are we living now, in DRC or what? Ask yourself that question. That's why it's easy to hold a person accountable if there is a lot of public interview. Even at the point that person become a successful candidate, it will force him or her to perform. That's why we want that to happen even to judges. We see Judicial Service Commission of South Africa, they always have public interview. When they interview Director General of, not Director General, but Inspector General of Intelligence, they interview the public protector. They interview almost every person who has, who was going to occupy the highest position, because you have to say what you are going to do, for Namibia, because somebody being a commissioner of ECN, you are like a board member. You are bigger than chief referendum or electoral, officer. You are in charge of the process that elect the president, the process that elect members of parliament, and also regional and local authority councillors, and that should not be taken for granted. And people are speaking to say we should not have the ECN of 2024, where elections were delayed and people have to go to the policies and constitution and ask a question to say, no, what can be done in that situation, where there was a bit of misunderstanding in terms of logistics. And we don't want an ECN where people do not have trust, but we want an ECN that is up to date, working with advancement in terms of technology, and ECN that can protect the data. Not the ECN that machines are lost or boxes is falling out, or you have, but I think that should be, the past should be the lesson. Because there was a situation where, was it PDM, where there were two parliamentary lists. Then after people stayed in parliament for around 2 years, then you have to be replaced with a real one. So we want clear policy direction and also trust, because that is a very important responsibility. It's more than a position. Because the impartiality of those who are going to lead that institution, or those who are still leading that institution, would define the standard of democracy in Namibia. That's why yesterday it was very interesting to see. And let's hope the best candidates win, but not only about winning, but uphold to the values of what they have indicated. Because that discussion was not a normal discussion. It was a discussion at a strategic level. What are you going to do? What is your vision? What leadership characters do you have? What kind of a leader are you? Can you take a punch? Are you somebody who can deal with under pressure? Or you are somebody who can overreact to smaller things? But yeah, that is what's happening. And let's hope those who did well get that position and continue serving, you know, for the benefit and independence of our democracy. Because as we are growing up, the political ground become very, very competitive. And there is also a problem that need to be dealt with, especially what is called voter apathy, where people start to think that, no, election is just a process which need to be done, but they are not seeing that meaning. That's why you have a lot of registered voters that end up not showing up to voting. But yeah, that should be a conversation that should be expanded, and a conversation that should lead to the right, you know, direction. So, looking at Africa, you see that a lot of teams are traveling to World Cup. The preparation are on top gear, and you can also see the ghetto kids from Uganda. They are very happy, and to make sure that they will be able to join Shakira, a well-known international singer, and really a foundation, or to look at an orphanage which was started just to cater for street kids and turn into the best brand, especially a music brand. You can also see that music becomes therapy to these orphans. And they are also becoming very competitive and got international recognition. That's why they will be also at the center of that, particularly looking at the World Cup. And you see that Iranian team also, you know, some of them have already started training at in Mexico. And what will shock you is that what if US and Iran go to the final? What if US and Iran go to the final? And is even Israel, you know, qualified to go to World Cup? I'm yet to see. Do they qualify to go to World Cup? But what if Iran win the World Cup? Do you know that if Iran win World Cup, Donald Trump will be forced to give a World Cup trophy to these people? Even if it's not him, maybe Marco Rubio, or maybe one of the senior officials, because that is sport. But the one thing about sport is that sport unites people, and it's a ground that people come together and forget about what happened. And let's hope, you know, it go well, particularly in the world of uncertainty, in the world of, you know, complications, in terms of not only trade, but also political and also global economy, which is uncertain. And the prediction is that in the next 3 months, if things don't go well, then some countries will be at the edge of collapsing, especially Malawi. And that will not be a good news. And also many others that depend on aid, depend on assistance, or depend on being controlled by particularly those who are feeding them. And it's really not a good news. Yeah, looking at Senegal, it is indicated that things are falling apart. But seems like President Faye also has his cut not only closer to his chest, but he's also willing to continue with his government, especially when there is a splint between the mentor and the mentee, where you see that the former prime minister, that is Ousmane Sonko, who is now the speaker of parliament, and is commanding now the parliament with the party that is controlling around 130 seats of over, you know, 130 seats of 165 seats in Senegal parliament. And you can also see that after being fired from the position of Prime Minister, President Faye has appointed his cabinet of, you know, 30 trusted, you know, cabinet members. And that is what's happening. What is also very interesting is that politically, the president of Senegal is standing at the No Party, because the founder of that party is the Speaker of Parliament, who is a fired former Prime Minister, who at one point was a mentor of the president, which make it so complicated. In fact, the president is standing on the ticket of elections, but not standing on the ticket of the party. And the question is that, is Faye going to form a political party, or is only willing to run for one term? But it's a complicated scenario. It has never happened in Africa. It's a very complicated scenario. It has never happened really in Africa. But it's also something that you can learn from, because there is a saying to say, one day in politics is equivalent to 1 year, because a lot of things can happen. They say, at one point you are a prime minister, the other time you lost your job, but after one morning you are already Speaker of Parliament. It has happened, you know, many times, to say one day in politics is equivalent to 1 year, because a lot of events can happen. But you can also find out that there are people that are political survivors, although Aristotle indicates that every person is a political animal. A human being is a political animal by nature. But you find political animals that can survive the test of time. Today you are here. There's a good case study there in Zimbabwe, where at some point Mnangagwa was a vice president. And the next day he is no more a vice president, and was being hunted by his own security team. And he had to jump the fence and go to South Africa. But after a week or so, he came back again as a president. Then that tells you a lot about politics, to say, apart from politics of development, there is also what you call politics of survival, where you find those who understand politics very well. You know, they find a way to come back. And there are also those, after a very small misunderstanding, their political lives, you know, end there. But there are also those who don't go out of that picture. But the one of that person is, you know, Soko of Senegal. And we see if this battle is going to be a personal battle, or it's going to count the people of Senegal.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 4kg Real Good IQF Chicken Mixed Portions for only $209.99. That's a big deal. And 5kg Polana Elbows or Macaroni Pasta for a low $124.99 each. Valid until 7 June 2026. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, you could stand to win one of 250 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three or more participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 7 June. T's and C's apply.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with early morning scoop. And we are looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa. And also, you know, what is happening in the world. And looking around, stated that wonder shall never end in Africa. Because we are not only becoming the Hollywood or African wood, because you know, politically and economically, we continue to be surprised by events that are happening. And you really do not know how these things are going to end. And there is the continuation of a pattern and a problem of African head of state who are clinging into power. Because after a person serves his or her term, there is always one, problem which can come in. Either is changing of the constitution, either is to say, no, the people, they want me. How can you say people they want you if when you went there you say, I'm going to serve this term and give opportunity to others? But one of that aspect is what is happening in Somalia. is what's happening in in that area of Somalia. It stated that people in Mogadishu, in the area of Wadag, ran away, particularly after they had exchange of gunfire. And that gunfire was between the security forces and also the protection unit of the former prime minister of Somalia. And stated that the heavy gunfire broke out at central Mogadishu. That was yesterday. And that happened just before the former prime minister Hassan Ali Gaire said he was attacked after a planned protest. Somalia has fallen into another political crisis after President Hassan Muhammadu announced that his term has been extended for a year after it was due to expire on May 15. The question is, why are you not leaving power? Extended by who? And I always have a question to say when people are saying, no, my terms of office are extended because of my performance. Is that really what the people have said, or you have influenced that? We see it happen in many other African countries. It's also happening in Zimbabwe, because Mnangagwa is not going. It's going to end another, I think, 2 years. But he said the people want me. Is that really the people, or somebody is influencing you to stay in power so that they can continue also not only using the state resources, but also to do some influence too? But it's really that the people want you, and there is no other way. That is what's happening. And international reports are indicating that extension of 1 year, the president of Somalia, that has brought a lot of criticism, has brought a lot of crash. That's why it stated that people were protesting. People are also planning to join protest. But what is also interesting is that that shooting was so heavy, where it stated that although it took only around 15 to 20 minutes before it was subsided, stated that people even use RPG. It's not only this, it was a shooting, it was like a mini war, the former prime minister and state officials exchanging bullets. And that is one of the most not only unfortunate, but also an embarrassing thing to Africa. Because it's so embarrassing that we are talking about democracy, we are talking about, things that our leaders, they say at African Union, are not things that they do at their houses. It's not correct. But you can also see that the country is deeply divided by, it has been also struggling to fight insurgents, especially the Al-Shabaab. That is an Islamist insurgent group. And there has been little progress on organizing elections beyond few, localized pockets. But let's see what will happen moving forward, because there is a strong opposition from regional leaders, especially on what's happening in Somalia. But the question is that for how long is Africa going to be like this? And for how long are you going to uphold the institutions of governance and also the framework that guide, state operations? But yeah, let's look at a short commercial break and come back shortly. Stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Kunonge shefa ya pumbwa kukara ya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange. Tashia kenge shefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma. Lane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The eye. Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And looking around, it stated that voting has completed in Ethiopia, but the counting is still continuing. And I think today there will be announcement of election results, especially in Ethiopia, and there's a high chance that the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed will win due to various analysis, but we have to wait for the results to come out, because you cannot praise horses that did not return, because politics continue to shock people. Politics continue to shock people. There was one councillor, whose name is not going to be mentioned, was defending his seat at some point, but after, there's always an internal elections before the real elections, and I was a sitting councillor, but I was not there. I was told by a reliable, source that indicated that I think he only got two votes or one. But when you are in politics, you are saying, no, David, I'm on your side. But, nobody will really tell you. But that guy, he bumped himself in the wall without even knowing that he was going because after hearing those results, he was not able to see. He was not able to see the door. That's why politics is full of surprises. And it's not for the faint-hearted. We have seen after every Congress, people cry, people start insulting each other. But I know that you must have a crocodile skin. You must be a political animal who can take the pain. And also make a political comeback, because you are not only going to win every day. But let's see what will happen in Ethiopia, especially as counting continues. And in a country where you have an eligible voter of around 50 million people, I understand that it's not an easy task. That is why we are saying we must be able, as a country, we must be able to upgrade so fast that we can be able to, if we are not able to manage the 3 million population, how can we manage the 5 million population? Because other countries, they don't have a problem. They have 50 million eligible voters. Their independent electoral commission is dealing with that. But what about us? You know that we don't really have that pressure. But other countries are dealing with 50 million people, or even 20 million people. But us at 3 million, and we are already fighting. Imagine you are five in the house, and you are already fighting about who to lead, how to manage resources. What about if you add another five? How are things going to be? But we have to see what will happen, especially looking at elections results in Ethiopia, and people are voting in 50,000. They are voting in 50,000. That is not a joke. Polling stations, people are voting in 50,000. And, there is to elect more than 500 members of House of Representatives who will vote to select the Prime Minister and member of local government councils. It's a bit of a complicated case, but almost sharing this the commonalities with the South African election process. To say you elect, House of Representatives, then from there you elect the Prime Minister who will be able to lead the country. And it's also stated that in some area there was a bit of insecurity, but there is a presence of military. Just to make sure that things goes according to plans, because if you don't protect those areas, there are also those who are going to disrupt, especially where you have known militia that do not like peace, but always rivals with government. And also to look at that is that it's also a question about Africa. Election observation missions, especially AU election observation missions, to say after looking at elections, what happened after presenting those reports? Because we don't want to dig on what has already been filled, such as what happened in Tanzania, for example, to say there was a pronunciation. I still did not see that. Maybe it's presented, maybe the full report is presented, but it's not publicly. It's still just a preliminary report of what have happened in Tanzania. But, the observation mission must also do beyond condemning or beyond releasing statement to say what will happen after something have happened. If election were free and fair, good. If there were irregularities, what will happen to make sure that, it can be avoided moving forward? While we are here, Zimbabwe Parliament debates a draft bill to extend the presidential term of Emmerson Mnangagwa. Zimbabwe Parliament is considering controversial constitutional amendment bill that will extend the presidential Mnangagwa's term by 2 years to 2030. And it would also do away with general presidential elections, giving Parliament to appoint the head of state. And that is what's happening. In addition, the proposed change introduced by the minister, Ziyambi, who is the Minister of Justice, to the lower house of parliament. And it has started. It has started in Zimbabwe. To say, Mnangagwa, or Mesa Mnangagwa, ED, will be able, you know, there is a high chance that they will extend his term to 2 years. So to amend the constitution. And really the question is not about extension. The question is about when you amend the constitution, is it only to fit the current point in time, or is it going to be like that, or because somebody is there? Because those are the institutions, I mean, are the, you know, instruments of the state that cannot really just be determined by an individual. Because if you are gone, the constitution is still going to be there. Whether we are here or not, the constitution is still going to be there. That's why changing it just within a day, it can also bring a lot of, criticism and a lot of also instability, especially looking at that aspect. And know that Emmerson Mnangagwa has been in politics long, long time beforehand, and started joining government immediately after 1979, when, Zimbabwe got its independence, and has been a number one confidant of Robert Mugabe. And stated that the 83-year-old was elected for 2 5-year terms in 2018 and 2023, which is a constitutional limit of a president. But, for now, it's going to be another addition. And you can't do that without changing the constitution. And the possibility is very high that Emmerson Mnangagwa will be a president of Zimbabwe until 2030. Be a president of Zimbabwe until 2030. And somebody asked who is better between ED and his mentor, Robert Mugabe, although they come at different times. But the possibility is very high that ED will be there until 2030. It's a very interesting political character. If you studied him, you understand. He's a political survivor since youth days. But the question is for how long. And there was also a competition from the vice, but it seems like it's not having any teeth anymore. But Mnangagwa now is commanding the ZANU-PF. But what is also interesting is that after the fight, or after the commotion with the former president, if it was other president, what he did good is that he did not revenge, especially when the former first lady was the center of for that fight. But you can see that the politics is different in other countries. And the question is that apart from now being in power, what other things can be able to be done? What other things can you also credit, the administration of Mnangagwa for? Because you cannot say that he did not do anything. You will be wrong if you say he did not do anything. Look at the economic performance of Zimbabwe. Maybe those are tangible reasons. Look at a bit of stability. How many Zimbabweans are now moving around the continent and also the region? Few of them. A majority of them, they start moving to their houses. You don't see them anymore in your towns, because some of them, they are going, unless they are those who become citizens of the country. But you see that people, they are going home when things start settling. When things start settling, although not yet settled. But you see that there are so things that he has done. The question is that when are we going to see a real economic transformation in Africa? Because up to now, the fight is still at the political level. The fight is still at the political level. We are still not yet at that politics of development. The politics of building a dam for 6 months is not yet there. Or the politics of building a stadium for 6 months is not yet there. And you can really see that we really need to move, because most of the things that are happening is only power for authority, but not economic power. Yeah, stay tuned. We are coming back shortly. And we'll be able to be joined by Dwight Links, especially from the Hour 7 there, to speak about GMO, genetically modified, organism. And ask yourself a question to say, the food that you ate today, are the real food or 50% plastic and 50% real food? And how organic are they? Are they influenced? Are they manipulated? And there's been a discussion. People say, no, the food that you are eating or the chicken that you are eating is just 6 weeks. And it's just 2 weeks, just people saying. But it's an indication to say in the world that we are in now, there's a lot of changes. And if you are a country that always depend on importing, you should not be shocked where the level of high blood pressure in Namibia is even attacking small children. The heart problems, these things are attacking even small children. You speak about cancer. It's no more about what and who does what. You see a lot of diseases. You go to the hospital, you'll be shocked. But you must also be able to understand that chemicals, manipulation of DNA for acceleration of production has also, an impact on the way, or the health of people. And if you are not investing in organic foods, or if you are not investing in chemicals that you can control, because chemicals are not always bad. They can advance a certain product. But if you put money into that commercialization of agricultural products, chemicals can multiply those products. But the question is always to say, what extent do we have control over, especially Africans, especially Namibians? So you find a very small child who has a heart problem, for example, a very small child with high blood pressure. And you're asking yourself a question, what happened to this this individual? Is it really natural, or is it really because of things that we consume? And when you speak about quality check, speak about this institution, it's called the Namibia Standard Institution. You speak about quality checks of things which are coming into the country. At what capacity do we have to check everything? To check everything. And what level of research do we put into those things? And in terms of laws too. Because what is interesting about developing economies is that there are a lot of things that you are dealing with while you are fixing your fence. It's like, you are fixing your Mahangu fence to protect, your field to be destroyed by cattle, goats and donkeys. But internally, we're also dealing with uchipahu or worms within the field. And that's why there's a lot of things to do. That's why there's always pressure, especially to developing economies of, things that are happening around the world. To what level do we have? What is our role in GMO? Or is just something that we are dealing with that we don't have control over? But let's look at a short commercial break and we'll be able to continue with the conversation. Stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401 so that you can be able to express your freedom of expression and contribute to the conversation.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana kono nongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano
okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konukonda doinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ilinawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ineko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any.
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe. It's 58 minutes past the hour of 6. And let's look at ShopRite and come back shortly.
Matuka fika ko ShopRite morwa o big low price carnival konda ndoni nino kupita kamana bini mangashi okay jine the package ndi mbuye njuhwa rumba kanithwa yo real gold kotro matirgari no way no sendo bino go way no way oto keri bona way peni konda ndo ilingao tara ne ko okay jine tano do pora na elbows nenge macaroni pasta kotro ashke tiro miro gombari na neno sendo bino go way no way keje ziriko si goga jeri gayo ni nuvo oko ShopRite okay ishe we oto Sibdana kamwe komu utembo mathiragari no mirongo tano Landa itatu nengo ijimini matei kuza ombinga Usindane mo ShopRite Big Low Price Carnival Ethi gathano tari hurumu gajeri gayuni Umpango na mautho Odena okurandurwa Matuka fika kwa ShopRite Morwa o Big Low Price Carnival Kondando onineno kupitha kamana mini mangashi Okei jine the package indi mwenye njuhuaru mbaka nithwayo real gold Kotro mathiragari no way no sendo bino go way no way Oto keri bona we peni kondando ilingao. Tarane kokei jintano do pora na elbows. Nenge macaroni pasta. Kotra shketiro miro gombari na neno senda miro gongwe no wei keje. Ziriko si goga jeri gayo ni nuvo. Oko. ShopRite. Kuki. Ishe we. Oto buro kusimtana. Kamwe komu utembo mathiragari no miro gontano. Landa itatu nengo injimini matei kuza ombinga. Usimtane mo ShopRite. Big Low Price Carnival. Ethi gathano tari hurumu gajeri gayo ni. Umpango na mautho. Odena okurandurwa.
efiloshi sho olo tali kutungupo. Oma wa o tomono okuja ko NHP. Genge wa longi fa elongi fo lili pedulo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefiloshi sho lo haku oe. Owa washi mali wa oshosha kupako. Washika we delwa komto alando lako. Kashi koma punglo ena shano unjolo welewe. Otodulo okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko opouna mitito shiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oi mali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene. Oma yakulo olu hapu. Hakala ina kwa telwa. Mo wawe kwa folo elo unamiti. Ile otodulo nokuli. Okupitifapo e mwe didonumba. Tokala inofuta ea kulolo elo unamiti. Kwa uyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, we are moving forward. Good morning.
David.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, morning. How are you, Chief?
Sir, thank you. How are you, too?
I'm well.
Me, I'm also getting confused now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which one is which.
What do you mean?
When it comes to... I don't know which one is which.
Yeah.
When it comes to... Africa, the world, and all the happenings.
Mm.
You just mentioned about how the president of Zimbabwe,
yeah,
whom his term is being extended, amended,
yeah,
I mean the constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
And I think the people who are also looking at the amendment is in view of the good performance that the president is doing,
yeah,
and the leadership, political leadership.
Mm.
And again, we are hearing that, yes, he went in hiding that time. And the reason I think it was very well calculated because the people could not to afford for him not to be there in order to improve the living standard of the people.
But can you just allow the constitution to be changed any time because of a person, because of one person?
But why do you want our constitution to be changed in chapter 3?
Come again?
To be somehow amended everywhere where you think it's permissible or reasonable enough to amend for the benefits of those who were previously, for example, relegated to the background.
Let me ask you a question. Is it really the people that want him, or he has influence in that process? Because the politician have always this thing to say, no, the people have spoken.
Yes, if the people have influenced that.
No, is it the people or is him?
How can one person influence the whole the number of the people that you are talking about?
No, you are the head of state, right? You have that power, most.
Even before that, he went in hiding, isn't it? Then after
I'm just talking about the constitution. So you say it's good to extend the term of a president based on performance.
Who actually put on the limit of term?
I'm asking you, is it good to extend the term of a president?
You can extend it because the person is performing and is doing in the interest of the masses.
Okay, after he's gone, are you going to change it back, or is it going to stay like that? Because
it shouldn't be just rigid. It must be flexible. All those rules, because I was listening to the Trump.
No, then we are not speaking in the same language, because that is not how democracy operates. Because democracy is not about
which type of democracy is the one that is imposed on us, or is the one that we are operating on.
Come again.
The democracy that you are talking about.
Yeah.
Is it the one that was imposed? Is the one that is imposed on us? An African,
yeah,
which does not accommodate the African values, which now gave you the limitation. Which democracy is that one? Is it the one that was imported from Europe?
Which has been here in Africa? Which other democracy do we have?
Yeah, we have got the Ubuntu democracy.
Operating where?
The one that we have been operating on, but the one that is imposed on us by the so-called developed country like America, which they, I was listening to the president of America who was saying that, yes, the International Court of Justice has got no jurisdiction in America or anywhere. What does that tell you?
No, I'm not getting you, because you are using that word to
excuse me?
You are using that word to say it was imposed on you to defend the extension of the term. I don't have a problem with a constitution being changed. I'm just asking, can we change constitution based on who is there? Or we need to have laws that can withstand the test of time?
Who is there is the one who is saving the best interest of the of that particular community or that particular state, country. So if you know that the person is doing well and is serving the masses, the interest and the concern of the masses, and the person is doing well within that limit, within that limited time that you have imposed on that particular person.
Okay, if he did well until 2030, can the constitution again be changed for the next 5 years?
If it is possible,
that is what you are saying to say, if in the next 2 years he did very well again, it can be extended again, so he can be there.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. No, then we are not on the same page, because that is becoming personality.
It's your own view,
which I respect, and we are not sharing that same view with you. Yeah, do you understand what I mean?
Problem.
Yeah,
no problem. No, yeah. I understand you, my son.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that why is it that when we are talking about democracy, the constitutional principles or values or whatever you call it, I don't know even the language, the proper language. And now you have heard what Trump has said. I just mentioned it now. He said International Court of Justice has got no jurisdiction in America. That's what Trump was saying. To rule, or even to declare that, yes, what Israel is doing is genocide.
Yeah.
But we are basing our argument on the international norms. Why is it that that democracy that you always appreciate, you always applaud, and say, yes, why is it that people are violating the rule of law here? And in America, it's also violated.
So when they violate there, we must violate also, ne?
No, we are not saying that we should violate it then.
Yeah. You are saying why America is breaking the international laws, and we are not breaking. So because the elder is stealing meat from the pot, I should also steal.
No. That's not what I'm saying. That's not exactly what I'm saying.
No, it's what you are saying, because you said when they do it because they give it to us, so we must follow what they are doing. Is what you said, if I heard you properly from the beginning?
I'm saying that the democratic principle that is being imposed on us It's not the same values that we have values here, as you, let's say, in Umbundu. No, it's not the same. But we
no, it was not imposed on you. You accepted it.
By force?
No. It's not by force.
By what?
What happened in 1990? Was it a force there?
No, there was no force, but we wanted you people to be free, and some of those values...
Your argument is always to say we went to exile, we fought for this country, then we brought democracy. Then when things get tough, you say, no, these things are imposed on us. But was it really imposition?
No, that's not what we are saying. What we are saying, even if you... Look
no, no, at what happened in 1989, 1990?
Yeah, but we still value the Umbundu principles.
No. I'm just asking, was it that in possession or you accepted and we were all very happy there?
Most of the principles, most of the values that were followed, they were borrowed from Swapo's the constitution.
Now, is that in possession now?
No, that's not in possession.
Oh.
But there were also areas. For example, we say, yes, here we are not going to touch the properties and all these other things that were included in the Chapter 3. So but those ones, they were valued here. Even during our kings and queens and all these other things, you cannot just come and invade somebody's property, personal property, no.
Yeah, but our argument was on term limits, and with term limits,
term limits was imposed on you.
No, it was not imposed.
How did you include it in your constitution?
No, it was not imposed. It was us who came up with term limits.
Even if we come up with a term limit, that does not mean that you cannot extend the term limit.
Now you can extend it, but if it become a norms, the constitution will also start to be weak because it extended based on personality.
No. It was not extended on personality because it's the masses' voices that have to speak.
Okay, thank you.
If the masses, if the majority say yes, we can extend this leadership because of so-so and so-so. Based on your ground, there's nothing wrong with that.
So you are saying when Robert Mugabe was in power until 94 years old or 95, and he was always saying the people want me, you are saying there was nothing wrong with that.
What was wrong with that?
It was really the people.
Just hold on,
then we can conclude.
Okay.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today. Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
In conclusion,
I think that the advert that you just played now has concluded our story.
Yeah.
Because it also tells you issues of how you can extend, how you can. So all I'm saying is that the constitution, of course, it gives you some limit, but it also gives you some room for amendment.
Okay.
It's a living document.
Okay.
So what do you have to have a problem if the people are being fed, the interest, the poverty, and all these challenges are being taken care of? And you want to tell me that you cannot extend the term of the president?
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Right. Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. You know, everyone, you have a right to exercise your democratic rights, and everybody is entitled to their own opinion, which is good. And how we view things, it can be different. But there's also a thing to say there's no one who is wrong. And there's no one who is correct. Because Angabwana think that if somebody performed very well, extend. But to say, but the Constitution is also indicating that there is no bigger person than who. We are all operating within it. But it's also going to be very difficult retaining it back. Because if you extend it for 40 years, imagine somebody who will be in power in after Yoweri Museveni, for example, is gone. Because the Constitution allows that term limits. Because he has been there for 40 years. What will happen to the next person who will take over? He'll be there again for 40 years. Because we have this thing in Africa where we use laws to save our interest. But we don't think that after I'm gone, because everyone is going to go one way or the other. Because after 100 years, there will be another generation here. Not everyone will be gone. But the institution of the state will remain. To say, if you change that for your own good, honoring, what will happen? Those who are going to come. There was also the same argument that that was indicated to say changing laws is good, but changing laws for time being can be problematic. But changing laws that can withstand the test of time. Look at the American Constitution. How many times they have changed compared to the Namibian Constitution? How many times they have changed? Then you also understand that, you know, sometimes there are foundations, founding pillars that cannot be changed. The same argument that was indicated to the proposed bill of petroleum bill that put the upstream unit under the presidency, and also the functionality. Reduction of power from the Minister of Industry and all these things. If you look at an analysis, there was one analysis which was given by Shikongolo and many others also. But when you look at some argument which are given to say, yes, it's good. It's good if you have a transparent leader. But what happened in the future when somebody take over again, who is not the same as that who is there now? Because they are very critical questions, because changing laws is good, but changing laws that can withstand the test of time, I think is more good, it's more important than, you know, just for the time being. Because at the end of the day, institutions remain, but personalities can also really change, which can become a bit problematic in terms of the future. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be joined by Dwight Links. And look at that conversation of genetically modified organism, where are we standing in terms of legislation, and what can be done moving forward.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, today we'll be joined by my colleague Dwight Link to speak about GMO, that is genetically modified organism, and also to look at a bit of registration, and also to look at, the product themselves, what are the international regulations, and also global standards, and also to, it's an area of research interest that I embarked on and spoke with various experts, particularly regarding that sector. And also to ask yourself a question to say, when people were speaking about, there was always an argument to say, the chicken that you are eating might be just 2 to 3 weeks, but the usage of chemicals to accelerate commercialization of product in agriculture. It's a point of discussion, but I'll be joined by Dwight who unpack this. Mr. Link, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Morning, David, and morning to the listeners out there for this early morning session. And obviously, yes, it is an interesting discussion that we obviously have planned for the listeners.
Yeah, you took a unique area of research, particularly looking at that area of GMO, and also to look at the agriculture sector, and also regulations regarding GMO. Maybe just before we go dive deep into the conversation, just to give an overview, a brief on the general understanding of GMO, because our listeners may be wondering to say, why these two deep, words that maybe medical terms that are being used. Maybe just where we are standing, where we come from, and the general overview of GMO before we go to the questions.
Yeah. So just for the listeners to understand, so we have got something known as a Biosafety Act.
Yeah.
David, just basically so that people know where this particular product is governed or regulated in the Namibian context.
Yeah.
It is known as the Biosafety Act 7 of 2006. However, David, the planned discussion, obviously, that you will keep for another particular program, is also primarily under review. That particular interview that I had there with the representative from the NCRSD, the National Council National Commission on Research, Science and Technology, that being Dr. Paulus Mungay, highlighted specifically that the review process is not done yet, specifically because they realize they also need to update this particular piece of legislation. Mm. So the updates actually began back in 2023, or let's push a little bit earlier, probably 2022. But I attended like two stakeholder engagements, one in 2023, one in 2024, based upon two specific updates and reviews that were needed.
Mm.
The second one was actually based upon the seed discussion.
Yeah.
Now, what we did not know at the time, David, is, and that I'm talking about the broader Namibian consensus, was that seeds formed part of the genetically modified products that get imported into Namibia.
Yeah.
And the Act itself highlights here specifically, even though it's, you know, basically 20 years old, which basically speaks to that it needs to be updated, was that it's to provide measures to regulate activities that involve the research, the development, the production, the marketing, the transportation, the application, and the other uses of genetically modified organisms and specified products derived from genetically modified organisms. We know what the Act tries to regulate there, and it's specifically contained within a vast landscape of the Namibian economy, which is also not always considered an economy. So this particular economy, David, takes place in the natural environment.
Just hold on for a short break.
For an ad break, yeah.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mL Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
The views.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. I'm joined by Dwight Links, and who took a particular research interest on GMO. Dwight, you were speaking about the review of the Act. Now, before you continue, maybe just include that also in your discussion. What are some of the key products that the key particular products that are being focused on, and also maybe you also need to look at the key challenges that are coming with GMOs, particularly in Namibia?
Okay, so just to highlight, just to end on the previous sentence that I was about to end on,
yeah,
is specifically, David, that the anything regarding the GMO regulation, which is basically biosafety, is applicable to anything in the realm of the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism,
mm-hmm.
and the Ministry of Agriculture specifically. The reason being is because these two particular ministries actually are connected to the same resource, which is land and the natural environment. And obviously that we've got rural communities, commercial farmers, entities that act within the commercial farming or that act in sort of like the mass farming production scope of things, which are like the green schemes. And they rely on a unique resource, and this is a resource in many scenarios that Dr. Mungeye highlighted. It's something that's imported mostly, so we're talking about seeds. But Ministry of Agriculture obviously has its own seed research directorate. There's a specific directorate that deals with seed research and the science and production around seeds. So there's also that particular scenario, which is something that universities in Namibia, I don't want to mention all the names, but that they also participate in. So Namibia has one foot specifically in its own R&D, and Namibia also imports someone else's R&D into our economy. Now, if you cascade that down to the question you asked about impacts, about challenges, and about, what are some of the things that are anticipated in a broader economy?
Yeah.
So this is now the 2024 engagement that I remember from the seeds around the public engagement about the specific part of the Biosafety Act around the seed and the marketing of seeds specifically was that they had to look at what impact do these genetically modified seeds have on the Namibian natural environment. Remember, David, Namibia is one of the few countries in the world that actually protects the natural environment in terms of conservation activity in its constitution. So if you're going to bring in something that's lab cooked in a lab or that's made in a lab, that's designed in a lab, or it's particular genes were altered or extracted in a lab, and that thing is not natural to Namibia or it's not indigenous to Namibia, you've got to seek the necessary sort of like permissions or permits and import, permissions to bring that thing into Namibia. Mm-hmm. Because what many people forget is, you might be growing, let's for example say a drought-resistant, let's call it a drought-resistant mango plant variant.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say there's a bee or there's a specific insect that feeds off mango, or that is attracted to the millet part of the plant, and it feeds off that. Now, what if that insect eats off that specific genetically modified variant of that particular grain or that particular crop? That means the product that insect will also produce in the natural environment from that crop will also be different, because you then influence nature.
Because of what they feed with.
Yeah. So what you bring in can alter the natural environment. So this includes insects, small animals, basically herbivores, because many of these particular insect, bird, and animal groups, which are herbivores, which live off plants, they're going to be impacted because it impacts their digestive systems. It impacts products that they also leave behind in the natural society, in the natural environment, and all those particular impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the explanations looked at regarding the seed legislation review process of 2024.
Mm-hmm. I want also to speak about human health, and also if it was discussed too, and also the issue of is it quality assurance or standard test to say you may import a product that is genetically modified, but is a certain standard to say, okay, we know it's genetically modified but it's good for human consumption, or this is how you protect human from this aspect of genetically modified, because we see things on social media. Somebody's making chocolate from plastics, or somebody's making meat from plastic. But we really do not know if these things are really true. But in terms of the legislation of protection, how deep was that conversation?
Well, specifically the engagement that I had was, that was now the interview that I had with Dr. Mungay, the one that was conducted just yesterday.
Yeah.
That was just focusing specifically on the review process.
Okay.
Because in a scenario of when you look at when an act has to be updated.
Yeah.
And this is what I've observed specifically, like what happens in Namibia, is that the old version of the act, or the current that's currently in play, or that's currently inactive, active, it remains as is. The functions remain as is. So it's not to say you suspend the presence of this particular legislation. No, you still continue as is, because containing the Biosafety Act, we have a Biosafety Council, and this council, David, actually composes consists of representatives from the Namibian public sector. So you will have an environmental person that comes obviously from the Ministry of Environment. You'll have a person from Ministry of Health for public health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a person from Animal Health and Welfare. That the last time I checked, it was the gentleman from MITCO.
Yeah,
he's like the veterinarian for MITCO. I don't know if he still is on the Biosafety Council.
Yeah.
Then you had a person for molecular biology. Mm-hmm. Then you had a legal representative, so that would have been someone probably from Ministry of Justice. Then you had a research, science, and technology person, and then a trade and economy person.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to represent, you know, the Namibia economy from the government side on this Biosafety Council. And the Biosafety Council, the current one was voted in, I think, 2023/2022.
Yeah.
Because they have like a period that they operate under.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to represent these particular dimensions of the Namibian economy. Now, here's the interesting thing. Much of biosafety, David, has to deal with what we eat, meaning the food.
Mm-hmm.
So the question you asked about grains and then also animal health.
Yeah.
Because there was an interesting thing that I once highlighted to our Eagle FM listeners on a certain particular topic that was based upon you know, the health of if you're a livestock farmer, the health and the quality of health of your livestock is actually something that has to be transmitted from your livestock when you sell it to the consumer who has to use or eat or consume the products from the animals that you sell into the various livestock marketing realms, for example, cattle to cattle abattoirs, goats to, you know, goat to small livestock abattoirs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in many scenarios, it's a realm that is ignored. Why do I say it's ignored, David? Because just look at the trade dispute that happened between the EU and the United States last year around US beef.
Mm.
The US beef literally can do what we do, meaning they can provide you with a track and tracing mechanism so that, you know, the EU demands a track and tracing mechanism. The quality that you as a farmer produce is actually the quality that ends up in their shops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, so that's the track and tracing.
Uh-huh. No, I see. Now, moving forward, especially to farmers, because things are now becoming so complicated, because we used to think everything is, especially seeds, are organic, and sometimes you can't identify which one is organic, which one is, genetically modified. Now, if somebody else to ask you to say two key things that farmers need to highlight, especially regarding the aspect of GMO, either is with the plants they are using, either is with the animals, as you know, you won't see how these chemicals impact you. If you have to advise, or if you have to give three key things that from your discussion and your research that farmers need to know, what would be those things?
Specifically on the importation of products that they would rely on for their production.
Yeah.
Okay. So the currently right now, David, is that based on the discussion that I had with Dr. Mungay, it was based on, look, there is something in play regarding getting the necessary standards from that biosafety perspective.
Yeah.
Up to a level, because Namibia, obviously in NDP6, is highlighting that, agro-processing has to be the next level that we've got to take agricultural production. Agro-processing, what many people also forget is that agro-processing also includes a lot of ingredients. Let me use the word ingredients.
Not chemicals.
That's the thing about English. You can substitute one word for another word and it changes the meaning of the sentence.
Okay.
So I went for ingredients.
Okay. Okay.
For chemicals. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot of things being that gets used in agro-processing. Now, if you speak to nutritional scientists or food scientists, David, they will explain to you, for example, packets of soup powder that you get in the shops, those Knorr products, Maggi products.
Yeah.
Those things are actually made from real plants. But it's just, how do you get a powder form of the plant when you see the fruit or the vegetable in its real life form? How do you get that to a powder format? Well, you extract the moisture out of the thing and you powderize the actual product. So it is the real vegetable extract. It's now in powder form. And in powder form, a lot of other things get added into it. To make it last longer on the shelf because it's still a perishable good.
Yeah.
To get sealed within that vacuum packing that it gets sealed in. And even the transportation and for how long it has to stay in storage sometimes. Those are things that come into perspective, that come into play right there. And obviously, it means that for agencies like NCRST, who have the Biosafety Act and the Biosafety Council and even Ministry of Agriculture and Ministry of Environment, they now have to basically step up their legislation, meaning firstly regulations, and then secondly on top of that, potentially rope in Ministry of Health based upon food standards. Because if Namibia is going to aggressively pursue agro-processing, we've got to step up our food standards, monitoring, regulating elements. So this means if you're going down to the farmers, like you ask, this means that if from communal to commercial farmers wish to participate in selling their products from agriculture, from crops to livestock, they really have to be part of, understanding the standards that they've got to meet.
Indeed.
I just want to give you a small explanation of what once happened. When I still worked in advertising, I asked a particular client I had at the time.
Yeah.
So how do you guys establish the winners of these livestock competitions that you guys have?
Yeah.
And then the guy explained to me, he's now the consultant or he's the marketing representative of the company. He said, Dwight, when farmers participate in this particular program, we ask them that we send sort of like our judges to their farm to see the standards and the quality of how they treat the animals, meaning animal welfare.
Mm-hmm.
How often, what other kinds of things do they include in ensuring that the animal and the animal health that they submit for grading in the competition is actually of a required standard for their particular competition scenarios. And then I realized, oh wow, this is technically how you can actually establish sort of like a category or a database of, farming practices that are good and farming practices that are not so good, which is a very wonderful thing. But that was a private sector thing that happened there.
No, it's wonderful. I think even the issue of traceability or the issue of tracking, I think it's a very good thing, especially where you are able to not only come to me with meat, but I know where you are coming, where you take this from. Did you steal it or you are producing it? And if you are producing it, how are you producing it? I think it's a good thing. And, it's a very good thing that, you brought up this conversation because, you unlikely find it, anywhere, but you realize that in most cases,
GMO is what we are dealing with every day. You don't know the mosquito that is biting you, how far it was transformed within that environment. And even the animals, sometimes you find animals behaving differently. But you realize to say regulation always matters, and research. And the fact that you mentioned that the council that is comprised of not only trade experts, but also people from the science area, I think we are getting there as a country. It's only that the discussion is not really seen at a local level when you meet people. They just want to do business, but they don't know that there's a lot of things involved.
It's good because this particular discussion obviously will just enhance a lot further.
Mm.
I have to add this particular curveball also into this discussion is that in many cases I always remind the listeners that we cannot look at things in silos, meaning that everything is connected to each other, specifically economically and definitely in terms of the natural world. So when I use the term natural world, I'm talking about climate, I'm talking about rainfall, I'm talking about basic things like pests and those particular trends that take place. So all these things are connected, and unfortunately it means that ministries like environment and agriculture also realize that they've probably got to work a lot closer with each other regarding these latest trends, because for the past 4 or 5 days, I've now been trying to read this report from the World Meteorological Organization, which is actually a UK report that was submitted to them about the possible hottest El Nino climate conditions that the world might experience later this year.
Yeah.
So we're talking about from now, July, towards the second half, July to December. It seems like the 2026 could be slated as becoming the hottest year on record, and which can impact rainfall probability, but we just don't know where.
Yes, Dwight Links, thank you very much for your insight. Thank you for input, and we'll definitely play that, conversation with Dr. Mugei, especially from tomorrow with BS. But thank you. And thank you for your time.
No problem.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. That was my colleague Dwight Links speaking about genetically modified organism. And that is GMO. So to understand that, things that you see in the shelf, there is always ingredients. He indicated that are ingredients. Some people, they say chemicals. And chemicals are not only bad things, but they need to be controlled, because in the world that we are living in, imagine if everybody was producing organic food, you will not catch up. But the world has changed so much. That's why technology has always put itself there. If you speak about agro-processing, you also speak about preservation of food, even preservation of food, because unlike just having dry meat, but there's also danger which coming with that. That's why regulation must always be ahead before things. We are saying if regulation is ahead before real progress, if we want to speak about agro-processing, how strong are our eggs when we are dealing with GMO? We just want to do things in a vacuum. That's why regulation should always be faster than processes themselves, such as industries. But yeah, you can engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Morning.
Guys, I
saw my dad in a radical to punishment.
Yeah. What Dwight has said.
Yeah.
In terms of our constitutionality. So the issue of climate change.
Yeah.
And all these conservations and all these other things. I think we are the first people to adopt that one into our constitution. And that is exactly what Dwight was saying here. In terms of preservation of our knowledge, whether it's indigenous knowledge and all these other things, how to really cope with the issue of climate change. We are doing good, and we have actually shown examples. The only problem is that for us, we are just very somehow cowardship.
Come again?
To change. We are fearful or cowardship.
Mm.
I don't know which proper vocabulary I can use there. Mm.
But
insulting.
Not insulting. Being coward is not an insult. Being fearful, okay. But a coward can also be scared.
Yes, issues of that nature.
Yeah.
To really change and amend rules and issues that really benefit us. I mean, in our own benefit. So let's really move fast and let's not be rigid. So to the rules that other people who are saying that they are observing these international rules, public law, you know, all these kind of things,
yeah,
are really putting us behind. So please, let's change things that we know that they can benefit us. If we put a limit there on the presidential terms and things like that, if it's possible that we can change it just the way we have actually put the limitation, why not?
Thank you.
Good.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and people are speaking about organic, products. And you really find people that they focus more on producing what is natural, and what is natural is rare. And if you find it, you realize that it's what also upgrading your health. You find out that there are people who don't, because that time we are running to get Nando's, we are running to get KFC. But it's also funny because the rich people in the Western world, they are coming to Africa and they are asking to say, no, I just want something organic. They want to eat our mboga. They want to eat, mopani worms. They want to eat, just organic things. But the interesting thing is that when you get money here in Africa, you want to buy those chemically, composed, food. But you realize that you are destroying yourself. But those who are in that area of, producing what is organic, I think that's what's going to withstand us, because if you end up liking things, you end up not differentiating. You end up even eating something that is made of plastics. Do you know that there are some seeds that they are only to produce that, plan for that time, but you have to go back and buy again. But there are those that you can keep on reproducing. Once you put them on, on the soil, you can still reproducing. But I think it's also a good time that we find out the difference, because commercializing chemicals is good, but can be dangerous if you don't find the limit, because you also end up behaving differently because you don't know how many chemicals you put into yourself. But that was what Dwight has a research on. And tomorrow we'll be also look at that interview with Dr. Mugei to see to what extent it has gone, and also where is Namibia standing. Because imagine if we're eating organic. Some of the diseases that we see, really, they were not here. If you ask a grandmother who is 90 years old now, will be able to tell you that you can't go to Katutura Hospital, and not to speak bad about people. But when you look at the sickness that people have, some of these sickness only used to have elders. Now, how do you explain a kid who is 20 years old and has what we call gout? How do you explain that? How do you explain somebody who is just 15 years old and has a chronic disease? Sometimes we need to go back and realize to say we may have different bodies, but chemicals has to do with our health too, even the health of animals. Because if you just have,
you know, cattle eat plastics in town and all these things due to, you know, there's not enough grazing areas or cattle just in town. They also start behaving funny. Next time you see them coming to bus because they are changing their genetic makeup because of things that they consume. So I think something that we need to extend, and it's also a conversation that we need to really look into. And those who come into those unique conversation must really be appreciated, because you find yourself in a situation that you know, you really need to protect yourself, although chemicals can be used for preservation, but not for everything. Because if you are just selling me something that you produced 2 weeks ago, really, I will not be in good health. But the question is that, what are Namibians going to do if we cannot produce our own food? What control do we have? What power do we have if we cannot control what we produce, if we are not supporting those who are focusing on producing quality products? Because other than that, it will not be you know, well. So, dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. But for now, let's get a short commercial break, and we'll conclude before we officially give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa Fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And the conversation must be expanded, especially when you speak about genetically modified organism. And, you know, there was a point where, you know, when you look at the behaviors of animals, you find goats which can come to town, and even when you are chasing them, they are just looking at you. But you're asking yourself to say, what did you consume? But yeah, let's go to...
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 6.6-liter platinum digital air fryer for only $999.99. That's a big deal. And 200 grams Nescafe Classic Roast instant coffee for a low $135.99. Valid until 7 June 2026. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, you could stand to win one of 250 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three or more participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 7 June. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of reward.